Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
We're so excited to be here. And let me tell you, you guys look beautiful. I love you, man, the smiles. I'm up here with my beautiful wife, so I'm kind of in heaven. This is wonderful, and I love when we get to share. We're so humbled and honored because every time this happens, we become so much closer because we talk about this all week. We, like, speak to ourselves about this topic, like, all week, and it challenges us, and we begin to go deeper. And this message, I was like, Beth, God must really have something here. The Holy Spirit must really be wanting this message to flow through us and for us, because we have travailed this week over this message. Usually it's fun and easy and light, and we laugh and we cry and we have a great time. But this one has been really challenging because it is really getting to the root of where God has been working in us out of our pain and what we have wrestled with the most. And The Chosen, I love The Chosen. Glenn, that is so awesome. Let me share this with you. I was sitting there worshiping, and the Holy Spirit gave me this scene of The Chosen on how much I wrestle with understanding God's unconditional love for us. And The Chosen, many times, have you guys noticed Jesus will come up and he'll touch. And every time in those scenes, I just cry. I just weep because I long to feel God's love that deeply, where he touches us and his love becomes real and we feel it. And it's so interesting, Glenn, that you had that slide. So, Glenn, thank you for all that you do to just do great things. Oh, there he is back there. So interesting, man, that you had that slide, because I had no idea that's what would be up there. So once again, just an affirmation that God wants to do something special here. And even as Beth was putting on her clothes today, what do we usually see on the tags of our clothes? Usually it's what? Like the size. Well, tell what happened when you were putting on your...
I was putting on this, which I have worn multiple times. But I just happened to look at the tag. And actually, I had put my contacts in so I could see the tag. Maybe that's why I noticed it today. And it said, do everything in love. Wow. That's what the tag said. I'm like, wow. So even my clothes today.
Yes, so I think, God, I'm so excited because the Holy Spirit really has something special for us. So buckle your seatbelts, pray for us, because this is probably the most challenging topic we've ever had to prepare and think through, because it's so deep. It's so deep that if we can get this, Satan hates this. If we can get this one thing, it's the thing that he tries to deceive us on the most. And it's the way that he wants us to live, feeling unloved, and what our self looks like in that. We're going to talk about two different selves. We're going to be challenged on where we live most of the time. So it's really powerful. It's like in a direct assault against the kingdom of darkness. So, Lord, we dive in deeply. And, Father, we just admit we are... we're weak, and that's where we really want to be. Because when we're weak, you are strong, God. We just want to be humble right now and invite you into every word that's spoken, Lord. Our heart's desire is that your Holy Spirit would just be free in this place, God. Lord, we just give everyone and everything to you.
And we just invite you into every aspect of our time together. Lord, may we remember. Lord, I feel like today is a day about remembering, Father. Thank you, Jesus, in your strong name. Amen.
So, a couple of weeks ago, I was asked a question, and this question has really stuck with me. The question was, what percentage of time do I live in love? What percentage of my time do I act out of love? And I'm like, I'm a pretty good person, I think. Maybe 75%, I don't know. Something, maybe at least 50-50, you know, I think. And then I thought, well, she actually asked, how much of the time do you live out of unconditional love? And I'm like, that sounds a whole lot harder. Let me look up unconditional love. What is that? What does that mean? And the definition I found that I really liked is unconditional love is showing love for another person without considering how it will benefit you or what you will get in return. I'm like, well, maybe my percentage is a whole lot lower than that. So I ask you this morning, just pick a number. What do you think, what percentage of time you live out of love? And then I thought to myself, well, who's the ultimate of unconditional love? Who shows it the most? Who could ever show it the most? Of course, it's God. And the verse that came to me, Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? We had nothing to offer him when he chose to give everything for us. So that's really what unconditional love looks like. So we can kind of start there. That's what it really looks like. And so after looking at that, I realized, well, my percentage is actually really low. But I'd like to share a concept that we use in coaching that has really helped me. It's really helped Doug and me.
Yeah,
it's verbiage.
It's awesome when you have a built-in coach.
Awesome, not awesome. I don't know. It could go either way.
I love it. Yeah.
It gives us some verbiage to use, and I also use it with my clients. And it is called true self, false self. And you may want to take a picture of this because we're going to be going back and forth to this. So this just kind of gives us two different sides of the places we live from. Okay, when I say true self, I'm saying that's how when we're living from love. That's what God has called us to. That's what he's made us to do. The other side is our false self, and that's when we're living from fear. Okay, and this just kind of gives you some what it could look like when you're living out of love. And the other side gives you some words that what it may look like when you're living out of fear, okay? So when I say true self, that's when we're living from love. I realize, when I look at these two places, I realize I live so much of my time living from fear, and a lot of times it shows up as judgment and criticism. And it's been like a stronghold in my life for years. And I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of living from fear of, and it really comes down to, why do I think I know what they should be doing? Why do I think I'm right? And you know what? It's to protect myself. I have to protect myself when I'm living out of fear. Because I need to be right. They can't be right. I have to be right. And of course, there's a verse to go with this, and it hits me every time I think about it. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. I'm like, man, it's so clear. There's not even like, I have to wonder, what does that really mean? I don't know. Maybe in the same way you judge, you're going to be judged. man, I don't want to live like that. I want to love. I want to enjoy the person next to me. So, you want to hear a story? Stories always kind of bring it together, don't they? So this week, okay, so Doug and I are training for a hike, okay? We try to keep adventure in our lives to keep, you know, keep it exciting. We like to have goals to reach. So we have this hike in a couple of weeks. We're hiking Mount LeConte, which it's quite a hike for me. I have issues with my feet, so I have to, like, press in and make these training hikes happen. So Monday night, it was a beautiful night. We said, we should go on a walk. It wasn't even a hike, it was a walk. And I'm like, ooh, we should go to Dairy Queen. Let's walk to Dairy Queen. We'll get our walk in, I'll get my ice cream, then we can walk back. It's a win-win. And Doug said, yes, let's do that. So he looked it up real quick on his phone, and it looked like it was just 1.3 miles away. I'm like, I can do that. I can do 2 to 3 miles without much pain in my feet. So that would be about, you know, not even quite 3 miles come all the way back. So we can do that. So we start walking, we walk, and we walk, and we walk. I'm like, this is longer than 1.3 miles. I look at my watch, which is telling me how far we walked. I'm like, this is going to be like 2 miles there and 2 miles back, which for me is not okay. I knew my feet would really be hurting. Well, but I still wanted my ice cream. So we walked the 2 miles there. I got my ice cream, but I was already mumbling inside of myself, like, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe he got the mileage wrong. What? He's not taking care of me. What in the world? I'm getting defensive. I'm getting resentful. We're doing something fun, but no, he's not taking care of me because he did not look at the mileage right. He doesn't care about me. I'm always going to be the weak link. I'm always going to be in pain, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we start walking back, and about mile three, my feet really do actually start hurting, and I'm getting blisters, and Doug is even like, Beth, you stay right here. I'll go get the car. I'm like, no, 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 no. You're going to be as miserable as I am. We are doing this together. He's like, okay. He's trying. I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm just mad. At this point, I'm just mad. So we get home. I'm in pain. It's not good. Okay. So I'm mad all night long. I go to bed mad. I don't sleep well. I wake up the next morning, and guess what? I'm still mad because he didn't take care of me. That's the story in my mind. I have a husband who does not take care of me. And I get to my quiet time, and I'm like, okay, I do not want to live like this. What do I want to be? Okay, right now I'm living out of fear. Fear that maybe I can't do this hard thing that we're training for. You know, so much of it is that, the insecurities, and I'm blaming it on someone else because that's what we like to do. So I sat and I did the thing that I teach my clients to do. We do the whole thought work thing. Thoughts, feelings, actions, results. I sit there and I just lay it before the Lord. Okay, Lord, this is how I'm feeling right now, but what do I want to believe about this situation? I want to believe that we love adventure. And sometimes adventure is hard. Sometimes you pay the price for the fun things you want to do. And I came up with, of course Doug loves me. Of course he wants the best for me. He accidentally looked at his phone. I think he didn't have his glasses on. So I'm pretty sure actually that's what happened.
We're getting older. Yeah.
And you know what I came up with? Adventure has its ups and downs. I'm like, of course it does. Of course I know I'm going to have issues with my feet, but I'm willing to press through. And I'm willing to do the fun things anyway. So I moved myself over to here, and I was willing to be open. I was willing to be open to the adventure and what it's going to bring. I was willing to be forgiving, okay, and to be generous and abundant in our relationship. So you know what I felt the rest of the day? I actually felt joy. I'm like, look at us. We're doing hard things. Can you believe it? And then I was excited to, we took it easy on my feet for a couple of days. But then we've done some more hikes and some more walks, and I'm doing fine, which is, you know, it's amazing. So I was able to choose to cross over from fear to love. It's possible.
And this is after 37 years of marriage, y'all. Yeah. So the struggle is real, isn't it? The struggle is real. And that's why this message was so challenging even to me, because when the Holy Spirit kind of put it on Beth's heart, she came down and said this. And I said, oh, yeah, I bet it's about 80-20. I bet I live about 80-20 out of love and about 20% out of the false self. Because I'm like, no, I'm a real positive guy. Sure. And then we began talking throughout the week, and I said, oh, no, at least I'm 50-50, at least 50-50. And then we began chatting. And then all throughout the week, everything we would do, we would say, oh, did we just do that out of the true self or the false self? And I say, oh, dang, I just did that because I was trying to protect, or I was trying to look at myself. And I'm like, woo, that was the fault. And it was amazing how aware we became all week about every action that we did. And the Holy Spirit really began to work on us. And so the way this has really played out in my life was during COVID, during the whole 3 years of wanting this thing to understand what was happening in the world, wanting to just inform, you know, myself, not really guarding my heart or, you know, my mind. I was just trying to be like a monster and just absorb everything. I work in health care, so I work at the hospital, and I was hearing all the infection control people talk, and then I was watching the news, and my mind was just being filled with so much stuff, so much information. And all of a sudden, I began to understand that I was not, this was not serving me well. And all of a sudden, I began to have anxiety like I was like never had before. I'm a real positive guy. You see me like this and go, that guy can't wrestle with that. Well, yes, I do. And then all of a sudden, for about probably 4 to 6 weeks, this anxiety started to result in panic attacks that resulted in me not sleeping at night. And I'm usually a great sleeper. I mean, I usually wake up going, thank you, Jesus, for a great night's sleep. And I was not sleeping. I was up at night laying in our little prayer room, weeping, crying, going, God, what's going on? And the Lord began to really show me that I had been living in my false self so much that I was in misery and my body was responding to it. My body was literally manifesting, living in that, and I had built ruts. What the Holy Spirit showed me is that our mental thoughts, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what the Lord began to show me was a road. And he said, your thoughts just dig and dig and dig and dig and dig, and they become ruts. They become mental real estate ruts. And then the Lord began to give me a little insight at work. He said, Doug, when you guys, you know, disinfect something at work, when you need to make sure it's really sterile, what do you guys do? I said, well, we take the proper cleaner, we put it on, and then what do you do next? And the Lord said, dwell time. I said, dwell time, Lord? What's that got to do with anything? Dwell time, that on every cleaner, there's a time that it has to stay on the surface, dwell time, for that infection control agent to work. And God began to say, so where have you been dwelling? What have you been dwelling on? I said, well, COVID's kind of got me messed up, God, this psychological trauma, like, whoa, I don't know who to trust. I don't know what's happening. So you've been dwelling on other stuff, right? And he said, what I want you to do is learn to dwell on me. And this is when we really began I think as a church, we started to go through the Pause app. How many people used the Pause app and went through that during COVID to kind of really help? Well, that transformed my life, because what that did was that started to caught. Have you noticed the pace that John Eldridge goes through the Pause app? And have you noticed it slows down? And have you know what he does is he says, Lord, we give everyone and everything to you. And that Pause app, it was timed, so you have to, where there's time, and then all of a sudden, the Lord began to teach me what it was like to dwell. To dwell. What is dwell? So dwell time, my pauses were the dwell time of that app. So that was just a practical way to do it. And then the Lord says, have you noticed what you've been dwelling on? I said, God, it's been powerful. It's been Ephesians 3, 15 through 19. And then he said, have you noticed when you've learned that verse, that passage of Scripture, how you've began to pray it into your true self? Have you noticed that when you said, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Creator of heaven and earth, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, that He will empower me with inner strength. And Christ will make His home in my heart, and my roots will grow deep into His love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how deep and how wide and how long His love is for us. And may you experience His love, even though it is too great to understand fully. Then, Doug, you will be made complete in all the fullness of life and power that flows from God. And to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, be glory and honor to Christ Jesus forever and ever. Rooted in God's love. Rooted in God's love. And that began this incredible moment of awareness that I didn't have to stay stuck in the false self. That I could renew my mind, therefore be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've quoted that my whole life. I've been saved since I was 7, y'all. But that part, my mind got out of control, and I was so stuck in my false self that it was literally leading me to a place that I didn't even know where I was. But God showed me that I could choose by filling in those ruts, those mental pathways, filling that in, and dwelling on God's Word and literally spending dwell time with Him. So the way I got out of my false self and the way I got into sleeping once again was to meditate. Meditate on His Word. For a guy like me, and you might relate to me, if you're a guy, we've been trained to be so active. So meditation seemed weak because I wasn't doing something. I was like, God, this is like, I gotta go do something. But what He began to show me is that when I am weak, He is strong, because what He showed me is, Doug, you've got to stop doing to get out of your false self. Your false self, your doing is killing you, Doug. But what you got to do is start being. Whew. Even after being a Christian for that long, living for the Lord for that long, that's the real struggle where I struggle, is to be rooted in His love.
So again, let me ask you, what percentage of time do you think you live out of love versus fear? And honestly, this just brings awareness. That question just brings awareness. But when you are aware, then you can do something different. sometimes we just struggle in the same thing and we don't even know why we're there. This just gives some words to it. And the good news is we get to choose our thoughts.
Mm.
We get to choose where we dwell.
Oh, man, that's the good
news. We get to choose where we spend our time, what we fill our mind with. Philippians 4:8, I love it. We're going to be ending with this. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Because what we focus on grows, and our thoughts become our life.
So the reason this was so challenging is we were so convicted on how much time we spend in the false self. We were just all week, we were like, Beth, this is going to be hard. This is not going to be one of those happy messages we shared together. Are you sure the Lord wants us to talk about this? Are you sure? And all week he kept confirming this because his love letter to us, our 4-pound brain tries to get the great love that he has for us. And we began to talk about this all week saying, you know, we get to be aware of where we are. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making us aware of where we're living. And we get to choose to take a step out of that and get back into the true self that God has for us. So what I would encourage you to do this week as a family is take a picture of this and maybe even talk about it in all of the choices that you make this week, because it was so enlightening to us, almost every choice, everything we did this week. We ask ourselves, whoa, was that in a spirit of the true self or the false self? Like even when we wanted to go work out on Tuesday and something was really hurting, I'm like, oh, wow, are we wanting to go to the gym because we're afraid of what the people at the gym think if we don't show up? Well, is that in the true self or the false self? I'm like, oh, my goodness, when we began to challenge ourselves. So maybe take a picture of that and maybe even circle. What we found ourselves working on this week is to circle some things that we really wanted to work on that would help us to really understand, like, whoa, to become tremendously aware of where we spend most of our time. Because remember, I might say this wrong, Pastor Jeff. Help me to say this right. We hunger for what we thirst for. We
hunger for what we feed on.
Oh, thank you for helping. Yeah, we hunger for what we feed on. So if we're feeding on the false self, come on, y'all. We're going to hunger for that and not even know it. It's just going to become, before you know it, that's what you'll be hungry for, and you'll just be kind of stuck there going, what's wrong with me? Because we're hungering for that, because we're feeding on that. And that's where Satan really wants us. And that's what I think this message that God was working with us so much, because if he can keep us stuck here, we can miss totally out on the abundant life. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, but the thief has come what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I think we would all agree that's a pretty good pathway to destruction, isn't it? Living in the false self. Woo! But Jesus, has come that we might have life and have it to the fullest. So we just pray this has been a blessing to you. It has really spoken to us this week. And can we close and can we just speak a blessing over all of us? So, Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would seal this in all of us. Lord, this message is so strong that if we could just get this, it's just transformational in all of our lives. And Lord, when we get this, when we live in the true self, it helps us to do the mission that you have asked us to do, to go into all the world and spread your good news that we give out of our overflow. But that can only come when we truly understand, that when we truly walk in that true self. Lord, this is challenging because it's so hard. It's so hard and so convicting, God. But Lord, we just invite you into all of this, and we just invite you, Father, to just work in us and through us, that each day we could, as Paul says, I press on toward the high calling of Jesus Christ, and that's walking in that true self. So we love you so much, and we praise you, and we give you the glory and the honor in your name. Amen. Amen.
Can we bring that slide back up, guys, please, real quick? We don't want to get rid of that quite yet. Can we give Doug and Beth another good hand of appreciation for...
Thank you, Beth.
All right, so you have your homework assignment, right? This is your homework assignment this week, to wrestle through this, to talk through this. If you're married, this is going to be some great couples conversation right here. Dinner table conversation, nighttime conversation, whatever's your best time as a couple, okay? Take some time, couch time, whatever it is. 15 minutes a day, just talking. How'd you do today, honey? Did you live out of the false self, or did you live out of the true self? Were you more motivated by fear, more motivated by love? Where were you today? Did you fall into some false self? What was it? What were they? Did you find yourself practicing some true self? Which things did you practice? So really taking some time and just massaging those truths down. That was really excellent. So thank you all. Let's all stand together. Amen and amen. What a great day to be here together, to celebrate the Lord together. And as we go out of this place today, let's go in love. Amen. And let's touch people with the true, authentic, transformational love of Christ. So Lord, thank you for a good word. May it settle in our hearts. God, help us not to walk out of here today and say to one another, wow, that was a good message. That really was. What was it they talked about? Lord, that's happened so many times because the enemy has just come along and, like a bird plucking up a seed, stolen it away. Instead, today, Lord, let that seed settle on good ground and go deep and root into our hearts and our lives, that we would be people of transformational love. Because that's what unconditional love is. It transforms relationships. It transforms the world. So God, let your face shine upon us this week. And let your light shine through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.